tell you love to hate.
I get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a goon?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, a motherfucker.
What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club
with DJ Envy, the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God. Peace to the planet. It's Friday. Did I do everybody's voice right? Yeah, I was pretty good with the voices.
Absolutely.
Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. Now, Charlamagne was right behind me. I think he was on the road right behind me. I looked at the clock and I was like, we both can't be late. So I just took off. And I made it. So he should be maybe 5 steps, 10 steps behind me. But it is Friday. Weekend is here. I'm ready for the weekend, too. I'm heading to Toronto tonight and then Saturday, Dominican Republic. I'm doing a show actually with Cardi B and Fabulous. So it should be a lot of fun. Charlamagne just stepped in the building. Was that you behind me, Charlamagne, on the road?
I don't know.
I took off. I thought that was you. I seen.
When?
Just now, driving in.
You just came in?
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah, I thought that was you. I was like, I looked at the clock. I was like, we both can't be late.
So what route you took?
Just took off.
See, what the thing is, right?
Oh, boy.
Remember, I used to always tell y'all, at the age I'm at now, if I have sex after midnight, there's no way that I'm getting up at 4:20 in the morning, which
right.
is the time that we have to get up. Last night, I had sex starting at around 9:45.
Oh, that's your fault.
Okay.
Should have learned.
No, but I was good, though.
No, you wasn't.
9:45, done by about 10:45. You know what I'm saying? About 35 minutes of that is just foreplay for me.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But I'm just saying, I'm only here, what, a minute late?
You're still late, though.
As opposed to 10 minutes? I'm just saying.
You got to start a little early. You got to start that truck up a little early. Instead of 9:45, do 8:45.
You're right, because wasn't nothing on TV last night, by the way.
Mm-mm-mm.
And drop on the Clues Bombs for SZA. Damn it, where's the bomb? Drop on the Clues Bombs for SZA. God damn it, is the bomb not working
bomb
this
morning? Bomb is not working this morning. All right. Well, do it manually, please. Just, you know, hit the button right there.
I need to say something. I just want to, say drop on the Clues Bombs for SZA because her Control album is an amazing album to have sex to. All right?
Oh, that's what you had sex to last night.
That is a great soundtrack for sexual activity, SZA Control. And, you know, a lot of times albums come out and it's been out for some months and you don't really appreciate it. You know, things move so fast nowadays. So I just want to salute SZA Control album because it's amazing.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, Method Man will be joining us this morning.
Oh, man. Listen, it's hard not to be a fan around Method Man. At least for me, anyway, because I grew up a Wu-Tang fanatic.
Okay.
I absolutely think Wu-Tang is the greatest hip-hop group of all time. Ghostface Killah is my favorite MC of all time. I was even thinking yesterday, am I too old for a Wu-Tang Clan tattoo?
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yes, you are too old.
God, you think so?
Yes, listen, you are. Where you gonna put it on your arm, your leg? Where you gonna put it?
Your arm, because the tattoos I got now, I'm getting done over. Like, I got Wolverine with a mic on his arm, and I was gonna get that done over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was thinking, maybe I can just get a little Wu-Tang emblem.
You're bugging.
You think I'm too old for that?
You are bugging.
But all the members of Wu-Tang older than me.
Still.
They got tattoos.
Still. Like, they're not getting them now.
You don't think?
No, you can't get no damn Wu-Tang tattoo.
They sell Wu-Tang Clan merchandise in Target.
I know, I've seen that.
They sell it like everywhere you can get. You think I'm?
You cannot get a Wu-Tang.
That Wu-Tang logo classic, man.
You can't get a Wu-Tang logo. No, no, no.
Too old for that.
You can't do that, and you can't get a Dallas Cowboy logo either. Like, you're too old.
My daddy got one.
You're too old for that.
My daddy got a Dallas Cowboy tattoo, and it says 6-time Super Bowl champion. He only got 5. He's one of those. He's one of those guys. Okay.
He's seeing the future.
He's one of those guys.
It didn't happen.
Yeah, that's since the 90s.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Method Man will be joining us to get the show cracking. Front page news. We'll tell you about Hurricane Nate. Also, your president, Donald Trump, well, he's back at it. We'll give you all the updates. Keep it locked. His wild thoughts. It's the Breakfast Club. Come on in.
Another one. Another one. We the best music. DJ Khaled.
I don't know if you could take it. No, you wanna see me naked, naked, naked. I wanna be a baby, baby, baby. Spinning in his red just like he came from Maytag. Rocker with...
Aw, oh, man. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, Bromance in the morning. Angela Yee's not here today.
And it's a Friday!
Now, let's get in some front page news. I feel so bad for Tampa Bay's kicker.
What happened with that? You still watching football?
I'm not watching football, but I seen on the news this morning that he missed 3 field goals yesterday.
Oh, that's what happens when you don't take a knee.
He missed 2 field goals last week.
He should have stood with Cap.
Okay? Oh, my gosh. And they lost. They lost 19-14. So if he'd have made those 2 of the 3, they would have won. He is out of here. He lost the job. I feel bad for him this morning.
He should have stood with Cap. That's what happens when you don't boycott and when you don't stand for something and you're still out there on that NFL field.
Well, his name is Folk, and last night the Patriots beat Tampa Bay 19-14. I feel bad for that kicker. Well, I don't.
Just let the record show, I'm only talking like that this week because the Dallas Cowboys are 2-2. Mm. We come in here 3-2 on next week. I might be singing a different tune.
Well, we own 4, so I don't know anything about NFL this season. Now let's talk about Tropical Storm Nate. It's a new tropical storm, killed 20 people already in Central America, and is heading towards the U.S. It says it should expect to hit Louisiana around Sunday evening.
Damn, tropical storms killing people now?
Yeah, tropical storm. So it's about a Category 1, a Category 2.
So it's a hurricane then. It ain't no tropical storm if it's Category 1, Category 2, right?
Well, they say a Category 1 hurricane. I don't know.
So it's a hurricane.
They're
saying it's a Category 1 hurricane, it's a hurricane.
Then it will be a hurricane by the time it reaches Louisiana.
Tropical storms are HIV, hurricanes are AIDS. So okay. It's a hurricane.
All right, if you want to look at it like that. Now, Donald Trump, he's telling the press this is just a calm before the storm. He had a dinner last night.
His boy,
with a couple of military people, and he says this is the calm before the storm. We have audio? Let's play it. Here we go.
The calm before the storm.
What storm is it?
We have the world's great military people in this room. I will tell you that. Thank you all for coming. Thank you.
What storm is it, President?
We'll find out.
You know, the thing I hate the most about this guy, I mean, I don't hate anybody. That's a strong word. The thing I dislike the most about this guy is he's such a hypocrite. Like, he was the same guy who would say that President Barack Obama and all these other people would tell the world what they're going to do.
And he does it all.
He does it all the time. All the time.
Yeah. I just don't understand. And also, gun stores are selling out of the bump stocks. Now, the bump stock is what he used to turn that semi-automatic rifle to an automatic rifle. I guess it's legal in some states, and people are buying the ish out of them. So they're pretty much sold out. So NRA is really, they're trying to decide if they should regulate it, if they should ban it. But right now, they are selling out like crazy. And that's that little piece that can turn a semi-automatic weapon to an automatic weapon where he can just hold the trigger and just let it clip out.
What y'all need to be investing in is bomb shelters. Okay? That's what y'all need to do. Y'all need to be investing in bomb shelters, and y'all need to have, like, natural disaster kits all around your house. Anything that got to do with natural disasters, anything that can help you survive earthquakes, hurricanes, flooding.
Tropical storms.
That's what you need right now. Okay? Y'all worried about the wrong things. All right? You need to be worrying about bomb shelters and things that can help you get through natural disasters.
All right. Well, that's front page news. Now, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Or if you need to spread a little positivity, we'll take your phone calls as well. 800-585-1051. And don't forget, next hour, Method Man will be in the building. All right? It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, bro?
Get it off your chest, bro.
Hey, man, I'm mad at Charlamagne.
Oh, okay. Boy. How are
you,
sir?
I need to continue the theme of what's been going on, but I'm mad at Charlamagne. Charlamagne, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
All right, so I'm mad at you, because earlier this week, he was going at Envy for changing his name when he was doing the telemarketing to appease white people, right?
Yes.
But I read your book, Opportunity Comes to Those Who Create It. Great yes. book, by the way. You changed the title of your book from I Don't Give an F and Neither Should You to appease your white people who said you shouldn't name the book that. So
Time out. First of all, that is not true. And I want you to really think about what you just said to me. You said I changed the name of my book to appease the white people, but I changed the name of my book to Black Privilege.
But you still, even in your book, you said... Your white publishers, you said that. I'm reading.
That's not what I said. I want you to read it again. I said I thought that they were telling me I had to change it because I was black.
I just want to have fun Friday.
But you were going hard at Envy for something he did when he was, like, in his teens, and you're coming at him with a perspective of a 30-plus-year-old. Some things you should kind of chill back on that, my brother.
I think you don't know what you're talking about
guys,
right now. I think you need
you
to read that chapter again.
Guys,
and how No.
I
know you're right. You're right. But listen, the name of the book is Black Privilege, Opportunity Comes to Those Created. If you haven't got it, you should pick up the book. In the book, I talk about how I wanted to name my book that, and they told me that I shouldn't name it that because they didn't think that it was marketable. Had nothing to do with anything else. And I said I thought that they were doing that to me because I was black, because a white guy named Mark Manson, salute to Mark, that's my guy, named his book The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F. And he sold over 1 million copies, by the way. But I thoroughly enjoy my title, Black Privilege, because I truly believe it is a privilege and an honor to be in this black skin. So thank you.
I'm doing a Method Man mix next hour. I just want to have fun, all right? It's Friday.
Just make sure you play the Wu-Tang Clan People Say, their new record.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this your boy Jamal.
Jamal, get it off your chest, bro.
Man, I'm mad. I got to come to work in a damn Patriots jersey. My team can't make no field goals.
Your team sucks with field goals. I mean, y'all should have lost last week when y'all missed the two and the point after. Then y'all missed three.
Who's his team?
Tampa Bay's his team.
Tampa Bay, yeah. I made as many field goals as Nick Folk did yesterday. That's all I got
to
say.
Bro, you don't. All you got to do to get out of a bet is when you come to work, be like, look, man, I've decided to stand with Cap. I've decided to boycott the NFL. I'm not wearing no NFL merchandise. I'm not watching the games. So, you know, I'm sorry, I can't honor that bet. Just tell people you had a revelation.
But your kicker sucks, bro.
Man, put me out there. We'll get the job
put
done.
You out there? All right, bro. Hello, who's this?
Hi, good morning. This is Miss Kitty from Cincinnati.
Miss Kitty.
Hey, Miss Kitty.
Get it off your chest, Miss Kitty.
Okay, I live in Cincinnati, like I said, and this is an incident that happened at my son's high school, Princeton High School in Cincinnati. Okay, there was apparently some kind of project where the teachers were trying to do something with bungee jumping, and they used Barbie dolls. One of the students, after the project was finished, different class, took the rubber bands, wrapped them around the black Barbie doll's neck,
mm-hmm.
and then wrapped them around his backpack and hung her off of his desk.
Who did that?
The student. It was a white boy.
And what happened? Y'all ain't beat him?
Well, a girl, one of his peers, asked him three different times to please put it away. She said it's offensive, it's wrong, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
The boy refused. He said he didn't care. And so another peer sitting behind him took a picture, posted it on social media. The superintendent wasn't going to do anything about it. He said, this is a good kid. He didn't mean anything. It was a school project.
And he'd be the same little kid that shoot up a school full of black kids in the future.
Exactly. And now, so they had to suspend him. They had to because of the mm-hmm. backlash, because it was on social media. Well, now the boy has posted on Snapchat, I hate black people and I hope you all die.
Exactly. So you expel him now, and hopefully you take him somewhere and help him to get the help that he needs. Sound like he's dealing with some mental issues. Sound like he hates himself. Sound like he's suffering from low self-esteem and insecurity, and he's acting out with anger.
And I just would like to borrow a word from Charlamagne. I really feel like I agree with you when you say that these white people that feel like this, which is their right to feel that way, but they are emboldened to do these kinds of things now because our president acts the way he acts.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, Mama. Good luck.
But you can nip it in the bud with kids early. If you grab that little boy, you really got to. I really think racism is a mental issue. I really, truly feel that way. I feel like any type of prejudice is a mental issue. If you just hate somebody because of the color of their skin or their sexuality or their gender, so I think that you got to take them and put them in some kind of rehab or something. Sit their ass down. Let them talk to a therapist. Let's work through this.
All right. Well, thank you, Mama, for your call.
I was listening to.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. I was listening to Oprah Winfrey's Seat of the Soul podcast, one of my favorite podcasts out there. And she talked this morning. She was talking with Marty Singer about the thorns that are in you.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you got to push those thorns out of you.
Mm.
But sometimes people need help pushing those thorns out of them.
Right.
So I just think these racist people and these prejudiced people need to sit down with a therapist and push those thorns out.
But, you know, it's not even that. I think a lot of times it's what they're taught.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So they have no choice because their daddy's teaching them that, their mama's teaching them that,
yes.
their uncle's teaching them that, and then their president's teaching them that.
And you can unlearn that behavior.
Absolutely.
All behavior, anything you learn can be unlearned. Trust and believe. That's what life is about. Constant learning and constant growth.
All right. Now, you can always give us a call. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Now,
now come- Angela Yee. You got rumor report coming up?
My name is not Angela Yee, but she is not here. So we're going to hold the rumors down. Cam Newton, he apologized. We'll tell you what he had to say and why he apologized.
Boo.
Also, DMX, he's 40 pounds heavier. We'll tell you all about it. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Rag it up.
Hey.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Yee is not here. We're holding down. So let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Cam Newton.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report. Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Now, Cam Newton got into a lot of trouble yesterday for saying these remarks at a press conference.
Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and making getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny. But fun is coming along, man. This is a big game for him.
That was a waste of calories.
Yeah, now he's a quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. And because of that, yesterday, he lost a sponsorship. His sponsorship agreement with Dannon, it seems like they cut ties yesterday.
Dannon Yogurt.
Yes, Dannon Yogurt.
Yes. Listen, man, if Cam wanted to piss people off, cause outrage, and lose endorsements, he could have just took a knee on behalf of his people facing injustice in America and is still with Cap. It would have been way more honorable.
Well, he did apologize after that, and this is what he say.
My word choice was extremely degrading and disrespectful to women. And to be honest, that was not my intentions. What I did was extremely unacceptable. I'm a father to two beautiful daughters. And at their age, I try to instill in them that they can do and be anything that they want to be. During this whole process, I've already lost sponsors and countless fans. I realized that the joke is really on me. And to the young people who see this, I hope that you learn something from this as well. Don't be like me. Be better than me.
Well, if you had stood with Cap and took a knee on behalf of your people, then you wouldn't have to apologize for that. The main problem I have with Cam is he didn't explain what he meant. You can't make half-assed statements like that. If you're going to say it, explain it a little more.
Yeah, I was confused, too.
Or better yet, a reporter should have followed up and asked him what he meant.
What does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean?
Exactly. What do you find funny about a female talking about routes? But he should know better than that. You can't be, you know, the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, the quarterback for any NFL team, and just make a half-assed statement like that. I find it funny, a female talking about Rod. But don't you? No. You just don't throw that one in there.
No, not at all. Even if you said I find it funny that, like, anybody that asked me a question doesn't know about routes if you never played football. But it just sounded stupid.
That's the conversation I was having with my homeboys yesterday. I was like, well, hell, I don't know nothing about no damn routes either. If you don't play football, if you're not a coach, or you don't play Madden religiously, you probably don't know what routes either. I mean, whatever.
No, because when I play Madden, I just throw Hail Marys all the time. Now, let's talk Iggy.
I don't even play Madden no more because it's too difficult.
Let's talk Iggy Azalea. Looks like she's in a little financial problem, a little financial trouble. American Express is actually suing her. They want their money, $300,000. They say she owes $250,000. And she hasn't paid her $250,000, so they want that plus interest.
Is there ever a reason to have a $300,000 plus Amex bill?
No.
I would pass out. $300,000? What? Who did that?
I thought on the Amex, right? I know, well, I guess not. But usually on the Amex, you charge this month, and you got to pay next month.
Maybe she charged all of that in 1 month.
But shouldn't she know she got to pay that next month?
Maybe she ain't got it. I'm going to be honest with you. You charging that much on an Amex card, you probably ain't got no money. I'm going to be honest with you. Dead ass. If you charging $300,000 plus on an Amex card, you thinking that a big check coming next month, or a big check coming in the next couple weeks.
It's coming soon.
Yeah.
It's almost here.
You're looking for a big check, a big payday to come in. There's no reason to charge that much money on any credit card. $300,000 plus.
Well, people do because you get a lot of points, you get miles, you get a lot of bonuses and things like that. Please.
There's nothing that... What are you buying in a month that costs $300,000 plus?
I don't know.
Ain't no damn way in hell. But don't listen to me. I still shop at Target.
There
all right? And by the way, those Target t-shirts, the new ones, the Goodfellas, drop one of Clues Bombs for Goodfellas.
They better than Mosimo?
I ain't saying better. I'm not saying better. Mosimo is classic. All I'm saying is I went and did a little experiment at Target and bought me a couple Goodfella t-shirts, and I wasn't too disappointed.
And lastly, DMX looks like he's doing a lot better. He's been out of rehab. He had to go to court yesterday. And he looked pretty good. He gained about 40 pounds, and he looked way healthier. Way, way healthy.
Don't drop on the Clues Bombs for DMX. Yeah. It's nothing but love for the dog.
It's a shout to DMX.
We want the best for DMX.
Absolutely.
Miss DMX. When the last time? DMX ain't been up here in a while, has he?
Long time.
Couple of years.
Yeah. I'll reach out to X if he can get him up here. He's been here. It's been a while. It's been a long time.
You don't come here no every year, Mr. White Man on the camera, Steve. MX has been here three times. He's been on the show, doing the show 7 years. So how does he come every year?
All right. Well, that's your rumor report. When we come back, Method Man will be joining us.
Oh,
we kicked it with Method Man yesterday after the show. Angela Yee was here. So we're going to kick it with Method Man. He's on a new show called The Deuce that's on HBO. And we'll talk to him about everything. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Kendrick Lamar with Loyalty. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Tha God.
M-E-T-H-O-D.
Morning, everybody. This is DJ Envy in the building. We got a special guest this morning. Method Man.
Good morning.
Meth, what's up, my brother?
You said the show.
You've never gotten Hollywood, Meth, ever. Like, no matter what you was doing, acting, music, superstar, you never was Hollywood.
Yeah, I still live in Staten Island, too. So, yeah, I mean, I stay grounded because, you know, I'm still around the people that I grew up around. So, yeah.
But you're here promoting The Deuce.
Yes, sir.
A new show on HBO. It's interesting because I read an LA Times article about you, and it says that you are getting serious about acting now.
I don't remember a time when you weren't. See, I have to understand. It's hard to do music and try and do movies or television at the same time because you can't. I mean, too many. How do they say it? Jack of all trades, master of none?
True.
So, I mean, you have to focus on whatever craft it is that you're trying to excel at that time. So I wasn't actually taking acting serious. I still had a rap career I had to maintain. You know, I had Wu-Tang obligations, Redman obligations, as well as solo obligations. So once I got all of that out of my blood and I felt like, you know, I was doing hip-hop because I wanted to, not because I have to, that's when I said, all right, let's do this acting thing. Let's get our feet.
That's interesting because you do have a Wu-Tang album coming out.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Law Math. I think that's coming out the 15th, so that should be good.
That the records from that album sound real different. Like, they sound like a rejuvenated Wu-Tang Clan. Like, people say it's, like, phenomenal. Like,
you know what? I think Math had those joints, well, not the beats, but, you know, some of those verses from cats around for a while, and he always kept that flavor. He's my DJ, too, by the way. He's been on the road with me for, like, ever. He's
he created the Wu logo.
Yeah, he actually, yeah, he did. He created the Wu-Tang logo. We say that at every show. I take that for granted sometimes, too. You know, seeing people walk around with tattoos and, you know, shirts with something that he invented, basically. But, yeah, that album, he put a lot of work into that. It's been years in the making, and hopefully, you know, it'll reestablish our griminess. Take away, not trying to take anything away from A Better Tomorrow. That was, you know, whatever vision that was. RZA wanted to go into the light, so be it. He was in the light. But, you know, this, I think, hopefully this will bring back that grimy feel that people know Wu-Tang for.
Yeah, I heard two records with people saying it's another record I heard that Redman's on.
Doc is Wu-Tang. Mm-hmm. You know, he all over the place with it. You know what I'm saying? Plus, you know, he work. He never stopped. I'm worried about the dude sometimes, you know. He needs to get some rest sometimes.
Yeah, he hosting that VH1 show now, too. Scary houses, haunted houses, scary, something like that.
But see, me, like, especially with the whole Hollywood thing, Doc wants to be behind the camera more. Mm. And I've always felt like he was a visionary. If you listen to his albums, from skits to songs and concepts and things like that.
Absolutely.
I really believe in Redman, that Redman could pull this off as a director.
He got a good horror movie in him somewhere.
Or a comedy.
Yeah,
I mean, whatever, really. Because he's so visual. So, you know, I don't put anything past that dude.
So Mathematics produced the whole album?
Yeah, he produced the whole thing. You know, RZA came in as exec, you know, because RZA has, like, this whole machine behind him now. So why wouldn't Math, you know, incorporate all the mechanisms that RZA has at his disposal to make this album go further than what he could have did by himself?
I read the Once Upon a Time in Shaolin book. That's how powerful the Wu-Tang logo is, by the way. I only read that book because the logo was on it. It's not a great book, but like the whole thing about y'all recorded the album and they ended up selling it to Martin Shkreli, and you was very vocal against it.
Yeah, I didn't have, because this is what happens when the lines of communication are broken, all right? I didn't know anything about it. I just know that when I was approached about doing a few songs for a project, and I was paid for them, mind you, by Silver Rings, I did the songs not knowing exactly what he was going to do with them. Most of the time dudes do that. You get a fee, you throw the songs out there, you don't know what they're going to do with them. Next thing you know, you're on a song with Tupac, Biggie, and they ain't even alive anymore, and all this extra stuff. Anyway, he put this album together, and by the time I found out anything about an auction or a piece of art or not letting the fans listen to it, you know, I got it, and it's kind of twisted the way the information was given to me. And I reacted to that information being that I'm Wu-Tang. Mm-hmm. But I think my reaction was more out of not knowing and not being in the loop.
Yeah.
More than the album actually being sold the way it was.
You shouldn't be finding out with everybody else.
Yeah.
Did you hear the whole album?
No, I haven't heard it yet.
Really?
I only know the songs that I'm on. I could play them if y'all want. I'll play them right now.
Martin had them up on eBay. He was trying to resell them.
Yeah, but you know what? I heard that that's not going too well. You know, I don't wish any bad on anybody, especially jail, because jail is never a place to be for anyone. There's some dudes that need to be there, though. They deserve to be there. They should be in there. But, you know, under the circumstances that he's in, hopefully, you know, somebody will pick the album up, buy it, and you guys will be able to hear it. I ain't really pressed, honestly.
All right,
I hated the whole shenanigans and that, so I ain't even pressed to even hear anything.
Right.
When you go on auditions, is it difficult for you being Method Man? Because people look at you as that.
It's hard. You know, you walk in the room and that's what they see. It's hard to, you know, shed those layers of Method Man even when you actually get the job and you're in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
People still see Method Man. But hopefully, you know, they'll see my dedication to the art. They'll see that, you know, I'm stepping outside of my comfort zone in some of these roles, and I'm ready to play.
But now, also, I feel like as Method Man, it also helps as far as marketing, because when it comes to casting somebody in a role, they're also like, well, we can also say Method Man's in the movie or Method Man's on the show.
I mean, that would have held a little bit more weight years ago.
I think
in
it's that you played Mac Wilde's dad. That's, you know.
Yeah, that was dope, though. But, you know, that's easy, especially being a father. So, you know. Mm-hmm. And Mac is just
from Staten Island.
What can I say? The boy is finesse at his finest. He's a great kid. Well, man now, but you know, I've known him as a kid. He's doing his thing, and I applaud him. Another W for Staten Island. Even Tariq.
Yeah.
Power.
Power. Yeah.
It's interesting though, because I run across kids all the time that have no idea you were ever a rapper.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, a lot of people run up on me because of how high. They definitely run up on me because of ha-ha, but don't get it twisted. Run up on me on the wrong day, boy. You're going to get the fire. Dial on it.
All right, we got more with Method Man when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Method Man in the building. He's on a new series called The Deuce on HBO. Now, on The Deuce, you're a pimp.
Yeah.
Now, did you have to practice for this role or prepare for this role?
Yeah.
Did
just
you
like
really?
You do any role. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to have that kind of dedication. I had to watch, like, I watched some pimp documentaries. I ain't going to lie.
The Mac?
Actually, A Pimp Called Snooki.
A pimp called Snooki.
I've heard of that one.
And Son has some, he has some nice colloquialisms. Is that a good word?
That's a good word.
Okay, that's a good word.
You got to explain that for me, bro.
Something like, he says something like, you know, I sell everything I own. Smell like. That's dope.
You ain't even
got to say nothing else based
right.
off that. But I didn't want to do a caricature of a pimp, especially in the audition, because I would have blew it.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing how, you know, especially knowing someone like Don Bishop Magic Juan and how he move and everything, you don't want to put it in a bad light. Even though, I mean, that's ludicrous in itself to even say something like that, putting pimping in a bad light. But for the guys that live that lifestyle, you want some kind of authenticity that they can look at it and be like, yeah, I'm going to ride with that one. I'm going to co-sign that. You know?
It's interesting you say that, because you are like a nice pimp on The Deuce. I was watching it.
Nice pimp?
He is. He's like a nice...
He's a caring pimp.
You know, he is. But...
That's part of the hook.
Though. Even before I saw the show, because when I was reading about it, that it was coming out, I think people have this idea in their head, like, oh my God, this is going to be exploiting women. You have pimps, you have prostitutes. Because the show is about how, you know, it's in New York, and the pimps and the prostitutes, and how that turned into the porn industry, right?
Right.
But then you see it, and you understand more. Like, there's one scene that I thought was really good where... she was getting in the car with somebody who she thought was a cop. She thought she was under arrest.
Right.
And her pimp actually comes and saves her. And anything could have happened to her if her pimp wasn't there, because he understood the game of what was going on.
Schooled on the moment. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But that's all part of it right there. I mean, the best thing a pimp could have is a chick with low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And no ambition. Well, she got to have some ambition or else he can't use it. Now, as far as The Deuce goes, I mean, yes. On the outer layer is pimps, hoes, porn industry. But when you start peeling those layers apart and start getting into characters, That's why I take my hat off to Maggie Gyllenhaal, because she's like anchoring this show right now. And if she doesn't get an Emmy nod, the Emmys is fake news.
Yeah, she's great. She actually doesn't have a pimp on the show.
All men got a little pimping in them, though. Like, even if you're not an official pimp, I guess so.
Well, we all aspire to have some type, yeah, you're right, some type of pimp bones in this. You are absolutely right, especially when approaching women. Every guy wants to be seen as some kind of ladies' man, whereas on the opposite spectrum, the women want to be seen as hard to get and non-approachable at times.
Is this based on a true story? Because I remember 42nd Street used to be...
Yeah, the 70s and 80s in New York.
The 80s in New York.
It is a true story about how that whole industry turned into the porn industry. And women kind of led the way with that.
Yeah, and those twins that James Franco portrays on the show, they're two actual guys that got into the porn industry. Don't ask me how. I didn't look up the history. I didn't want to know. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, yeah.
Do you think these period pieces are necessary? Or why do you think they're necessary?
Well, for one... You know, in the society we live in now, here we go, society we live in now, especially in the 2000s, since 2000 started, and, you know, we've got all this information at our fingertips. It's nice for the youngins to be able to look back and see where their grandparents came from or where their parents came from and how, you know, we always tell them, this was a struggle and we had to do this, that, and the third, and they can't picture it because they ain't lived that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, whatever, but this gives them some type of light and perspective on partly of what it was back then, because all those days weren't bad ones. I ain't gonna even lie. You know, I grew up in some very broke neighborhoods, very poor. But me as a child being in these environments, I knew we were poor, but we didn't feel poor because everybody around us was in the same situation.
Right.
There was always love in those communities. That's what people fail to understand. You know, yes, we are living in deplorable conditions at times. And yes, sometimes a parent may be on drugs or a father incarcerated, but when that family unit is strong and that village comes in to help raise those kids, that is unstoppable.
And that's the crazy part about social media, because I know some of these kids are still living in those conditions, but you don't ever see that reflected via Instagram or Snapchat.
Nah,
or
never. Really. Nothing. Everybody's hood rich.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Very rarely.
That's why I liked when Redman did Cribs. And he had him in his house, and it was all, you know, everybody tries to be
that
like...
That was one of his houses,
magnificent,
though.
He
probably owned the complex.
Yeah.
But it was all, everybody else tries to be all glamorous on Cribs, and then Redman brings him in his house.
Well, that's always been Doc. That's why people love Doc. Doc is the anti to the pro, you know what I'm saying? It's, if you going left, Doc going to go right. It's just who he is.
But you always been that way, too, especially with the industry. I think that's why y'all meshed.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we click so well, because we mesh on a lot of different levels, you know? Especially at shows. If you haven't seen a Redman and Method Man show, make it on your bucket list. Come see us. We throw it down.
Mm-hmm. Even back in the day, you used to rebel against the whole sex symbol status.
Well, you know what? That was because I didn't see any... all I seen was a bottom to that. You know, and I mean, not taking anything away from Christopher Williams. You know, the brother probably... No, I'm just saying, though. I'm just saying, though, and I seen the pictures, and y'all clowned him up here. Y'all clowned him up here.
No, he clowned him, said light skin, he's bad, and all that.
You aging pretty good. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll take it.
And, you know, that whole sex symbol thing, it's like that clock is ticking on, you know, when you're going to just start looking more effed up every day, man. Just bet. I didn't want to be in that realm. I just wanted to be judged off of my skill. That's the bottom line.
No, that's real. Because I say that with women all the time, too. All these women that's getting paid off their looks and their bodies. Like, you're going to age. It's not going to stay that way.
Right.
Well, I mean, some women are aging gracefully. There's a few of them
true
out there. They're checking their diets and they're in the gym taking care of their bodies, and yeah. I
mean, you look at people like Angela Bassett.
Yeah.
Everybody
J-Lo,
always brings up
Halle.
Angela.
Yeah.
That's
phenomenal. Incredible.
That's good, because I think that makes her go even harder in the gym, and I need some of that.
Now, I want to ask the three of you a question after watching The Deuce. There's one scene where a kid loses his virginity to a prostitute.
Right.
How common is something like that?
It's funny you brought that up. You know when I lost my virginity?
To
I tell the story all the time.
To a stripper.
No, I didn't lose it to a stripper. I lost my virginity to a young lady, but I used to go to her house every day after school, so it was around like 3 o'clock, 3:30, and Method Man Bring the Pain video used to always be on.
And you were bringing the pain.
Well, no, I'm dead ass serious. I'm dead serious.
Nice.
That's romantic song to lose.
Yeah, that's a romantic song. Oh, me and my wife, our wedding song was All I Need, the remix.
Nice.
That's a fact. That's the first song we danced to.
Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade played it at their wedding, too. I don't know if it was their dance song, but she told me they played it there.
That's
a good
classic number one hip-hop R&B
absolutely
love song
that's
ever.
Dope. All right, well, let's get into a Method Man mini mix.
Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Method Man's in the building. Now, have you ever been with a prostitute?
No.
He's a sex symbol. He never had to.
No. You sold crack, though, right?
Yeah.
So you slept with a fiend for money. You let a fiend give you a or something.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, same difference.
Hey, yo, it's funny because nah, f- that. No,
he's in Hollywood now, guys. Stop it.
But there, I got a crack story.
Tell us a story.
All right, crack story. Check it out. Okay, so around my way, it was a little area where we used to hustle at, and cars would come through. Everybody used to run into the cars, and you know, if you got 15 people hustling in the same spot, first one there get the sale, and you got to literally put your head in the window, you know, get the sale. So I'm out there by myself this night. I know this fiend. He pulls up. How many you want? I put my head inside, got my hand like this. What's good? How many you want? All of them. Smacks my hand up.
Whoa.
Takes off in the car.
Wow.
With all my
all your stuff.
Oh my
gosh.
All my stuff.
This is meant to be.
Yeah. But you know, it was a lesson learned. That would never happen again.
Well, you don't have to sell crack anymore, but you know.
Yeah.
But if you
but
did.
But it's funny because we were still, even when we did the source pitches where we got the Columbia rain suits on, we still selling crack.
Mm. So at what point did y'all really start making money? Like,
well, the Cal album came out. You know, it was still a little tough. Mm. I was still learning.
But after all getting, the albums, the tours and all
I was
that?
Getting solo money then, so I don't know what the rest of the dudes was doing.
Right.
I was getting solo money, and it was like, I was getting $2,500 a show. When All I Need came out, I was getting all these freaking shows back to back to back to back to back to back, and I told Mook, raise the effing price, man, because I'm getting too many shows. If I'm getting that many shows, it's because they know I'm bargain basement right now. Raise the effing price. So it's all a learning experience over time.
For everybody.
So we might have cheated ourselves out of some money occasionally here and there from lack of knowledge of the business.
You think being broke makes you make better music?
I don't know. You have more time to focus on more things, because if you broke, you ain't got no job.
And you got to find other things to rap about. Like, this era is all, a lot of it is all money, material stuff.
I mean, it's always been like that. And that's always been a great element to have in hip-hop, the same way it is in boxing. You can't have everybody just be a brawler and go up there and give whack interviews. You got to have a Floyd Mayweather to spice things up. You know what I'm saying? You can't have a Wu-Tang without a Biggie or a Jay-Z showing that luxurious life, because that's what we all aspire to. And I love seeing brothers like that.
You do remember back when a lot of the underground artists didn't like the Biggies, though, or the Jay-Zs. I remember J-Rue, the Damage, Boot Camp Click. They weren't feeling
them. And that was part of that fashionable trend again. Now, Boot Camp, on the other hand, they had their own reasons, whatever that was. I don't know. I don't get into all that because I was cool with both sides. But that's just going against the norm. It's like saying, you know, knowing that Jay been putting it down for years, if you're sitting in a room full of people and, you know, they're like, who the best, and you say Jay-Z, it's such an obvious answer that everybody gonna hate on it.
Mm.
You know, it's just cool to go against, you know. And I mean, I get it, but I'm not for it. I don't mind applauding excellence at all.
What do you think of the music now? Some of the young kids that come out now?
I think they're doing their thing. Let them have what they're doing. We had fun when we did it. Let them have fun. I mean, it's different. Yeah, and as it goes on and on, I'm learning more and more about where they're at with it. You
said different. Different meaning what?
Meaning they're making, like, Wu-Tang, for instance, not taking nothing away from my catalog, but the song, you know, could be about anything, and we'll name it something like Daiquiris on a Snowfall. It has nothing to do with that. These kids are making these, I mean, these sound like songs, man. And they, I mean, auto-tune or not, they're singing and they're actually sitting down writing and creating songs. And the youth are reacting to it. Who are we to say that that movement ain't the movement right now? You know, we've had our time.
Right. What do you think about writing your own music? Because you guys have always written all your own lyrics.
You had people in our era that didn't write their own lyrics. You know what I'm saying? Dre, I don't think Dre wrote any
Well, yeah. But, I mean, you guys, as far as Wu-Tang.
Guys that were considered MCs. We never looked at Dre as an MC.
Oh, man. Is this the Drake thing?
Nah,
no, it's not
so.
Just about him. Because
I like Drake.
I'm just talking about you. Like, what do you think about, can you be considered a great lyricist if you don't write your own lyrics?
No. I mean, that's been answered already a million times. No, there's no way. How can you be a great lyricist if you're not writing it? It's the person behind you that's writing it. They must be great.
Do you look at artists different if you're like, okay, they didn't write that?
No.
As a hip-hop artist?
No. I like good music. Since hip-hop has come to the forefront, and you can't look at the charts now without seeing a hip-hop record on there, a rap record on there, it's par for the course. Mm-hmm. It's called elevating. It's called growth. Jazz was big at a time. And Miles Davis, nobody could tell him he wasn't the baddest man on the planet, even when as many people weren't listening to jazz anymore. But there was always that crowd that would show up for those venues. Me and Redman have that now. Mm-hmm. I like to equate it to that because when we go on the road, it's a lot of kids there, but a lot of older people from our era are there also. And it's great to transcend between each generation. And because when you do that, it's like you're giving them another look at what hip-hop was, and they're giving them a look at what hip-hop could be, which is great.
Is it ever intimidating for other artists that have to be on shows with you and Redman? Because you guys have a lot of energy without any special effects or anything. So imagine, you know, you see a lot of hip-hop artists that go out there, they just kind of walk back and forth.
They have some effects. I've seen them fly across the stage.
That was different, though. We had to keep up with those dudes. They were, you know what I'm saying?
So they was definitely flying through there.
I wouldn't be intimidated, especially if the show that I've been doing is a good show and it's going across with the crowd. Only people that would be intimidated by that is people that already put on bad shows. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some headliners out there that they don't look like they do. Well, their videos aren't that interesting, so imagine what their shows are going to look like, you know? And I'm not taking anything away from anybody, but in the same sense, taking everything away from everybody.
You know, most artists don't want to open up, but y'all opened up that tour, and y'all didn't have a problem opening up that tour. Most people are like, I don't want to open up. I'm not opening up the show, but you guys did it and had no problem doing it.
Seen them checks.
I didn't see it.
Yo, it was nice we went on where the lights were still on. You know, DJ Clue was still up there. Mm. You know, people were still trying to get to their seats type of thing at the concession stand. But no lie, and Jay can attest to this, by the end of our set, it was packed.
Right.
And they were enjoying themselves. So I say, yeah, put on a dope opening act, whatever the hell it is. If we're going to go out here, we're going to rock it to make sure that these dudes got the best crowd when they come out here. Mm. We ain't going to kill the hype.
But I think word got out that y'all was the first people up, so people started getting
like
there a little earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, because they heard we were flying. They wanted to see how these dudes flying.
Absolutely.
They high. How they flying? You know what I'm saying? They was trying to make it to the shows, which was good, too.
Is Lucien going to go on tour for the new album?
I don't know, but I won't be there.
You're not going to be there?
Nah.
Why, Meth?
Oh, I got other obligations. I got TV shows and things I have to do now, you know? I'm working on that producer credit.
Well, at this point in your life, what do you enjoy more, acting or rapping? I guess clearly acting.
Acting? Acting, I ain't gonna lie. I mean, hip-hop is what it's turned into. I mean, just the whole entertainment business on a whole, what it's turned into. Y'all are guilty of it, too. You know, it's like, I don't know what it is anymore. It's like the whole voyeuristic society. Like, everybody's in everybody's business. That's why I tend to just stick to my own and mind my own damn business, man. For real.
Nah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Now everything's more tabloid than reputable news.
Yeah, I mean, some of y'all stuff is reputable.
Thank you.
Real? No, I'm going to keep it 100. Like I said, I applaud excellence. And some of your donkey of the days, mm-hmm. you put those words together really good, brother.
A lot
you
of know colloquialisms.
What I mean? A lot of colloquialisms.
He put me in
for now. He'd be eviscerating people.
You know, but I mean, especially when it's on, you know, especially when it comes to our culture. Mm-hmm. And you're speaking on people that attack our culture from our culture. You know, I feel like that's needed. We need voices like that. I don't like being asked political questions. I would rather someone like, you know, Brother Cornel West speak for me.
Absolutely.
On those matters, because he could be more eloquent than I can. Because for me, it's just raw emotion. For him, it's more thought out. And, you know, his history as far as our culture goes, he's on it, man. And I mm-hmm. applaud brothers like that, man. I would rather they come into the forefront and speak for us rather than them asking a rapper what do they think of Donald Trump or what do they think of immigration and stuff like that, because our emotions are going to be raw.
Right. And we're just not as educated as them.
But sometimes people relate to that raw emotion more.
Yeah, but it's just,
it makes it more accessible for people to feel like, okay, Method Man's talking about it. And sometimes it makes people realize
they should care about it. It can be disputed because when it comes down to facts, people love facts. And they're right at your fingertips now. I like someone that can just give you the truth, and it's undisputable. Not that hard.
All right.
The deuce! See, I got MB down pat.
I did the same
what
time.
What is it, Kaboyi?
Sunday night, 9.
Sunday nights at 9, the deuce. Yeah. Well, it's Method Man. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. We got to talk creative rap names.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Now, comedian Michael Blackson said he might start to rap and he needed some rap names.
I've heard of the Michael Blackson guy. He's my guy.
Now, he asked his social media crowd to say, hey, can you give me some advice on some blacks, rap names? And these are the names that they said.
I asked my followers for some rappers' names, and these are the names he gave me. MC Night Night, Joke Limo 10, 2 a.m. Black, Just Black, Black as Blacker Than Black, Basement Black, Pitch Black, Burnt Crispy, California Raisin, MC Night Night, 1159, 1201, 1203, 1204. Those are all AMs. Dark Knight, Ghana's Nightmare, Straight Out of Madagascar, Fade to Black, Low Darky, Low Black and Mild, Low Uzi Burn, 21 Darkness, 21 Shadow, Kodak Blacker, ASAP Burn.
I love 21 Shadow. I love Little Uzi Burnt.
I like Fade to Black.
Somebody should have called him Little Dookie Vert.
Little Dookie Vert.
And I can't believe nobody didn't say Jay Charcoal. Jay Charcoal, baby.
Dookie Black, too. All right, well, good luck to him in his rap career.
Yes.
Now, Young Thug was online yesterday, and he was begging for his baby back. Let's hear the audio.
Babe, give me a chance. I promise I won't mess up no more. Everybody tell her to give me one chance. Tell her to give me one more chance, and I promise I won't mess up ever again. It wasn't even my fault, man. It, like, six you be using that phone, man.
See why he had to say it wasn't my fault?
Drop one of the clues bombs for Young Thug. Okay, listen, every man has told the woman they love at least three times in their life, ladies, you know, hey, I messed up. I'll never do it again.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Y'all know we retarded. We learn from our mistakes after a few times. Young Thug learning. But I'm going to tell you something. As Envy just said, it's true, man. After you say I'll never do it again, don't come with the other lie.
Yeah, don't
come with the lie. Talk about that wasn't your phone. Just take the L.
You just got to take it. That's right.
You're contradicting yourself anyway. You just said, I'll never do it again.
Right.
But then you turn around and say, it wasn't my phone.
You know mad people be using that phone.
Either you lead with the lie and stick with the lie, or you just come clean and say, look, baby, I'll never do it again. All right? You'll be fine, man. Give that man another chance. Men learn from their mistakes. She'll give him another chance, and she should.
All right. Now, lastly, Tyrese. It seems like he's mad at The Rock, and it's all coming together now. All right? Now, The Rock, I guess they asked him to do the Hobbs movie, which is the solo movie from Fast and Furious, and he agreed to do it, and Tyrese is pissed. He's saying, hey, you don't break up the crew. Because he's doing the Hobbs movie, it seems like everybody else's career when it comes to Fast and Furious is put on hold until the Hobbs movie comes out, and he is pissed off.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, Tyrese, Ludacris, Vin Diesel, they all get paid off that Fast and Furious movie. They're not going to make another one until 2020 if they do the Hobbs movie. So that's a couple years where they ain't getting any Fast and Furious check. But I'm going to tell you something.
What's that?
Tyrese, you're going to keep barking up that rock tree, and that rock tree going to fall on you now. When The Rock challenge you to a duel at WrestleMania. You better have that same energy.
That same energy.
You better have that same energy when The Rock challenges you to a duel at SummerSlam. What's the next WWE event?
I don't know.
Or the Royal Rumble, whatever it is. Tyrese better have that same energy when The Rock challenges him to a duel.
All right. Well,
okay.
That's your rumor report. Angela Yee's out. We're holding it down. But you got Donkey Today coming up?
Yes, man. Donkey Today is going to my guy, Kenyon Martin. Kenyon Martin is our guy.
Uh-oh. What are you doing now?
Listen, man. Donkey Today does not discriminate. We need Kenyon to come to the front of the congregation. We like to have a word with him.
Now, you know Kenyon a little cuckoo, right?
I'm a little cuckoo, too.
Okay. All right.
But Kenyon don't understand this one. I'm sure he's looking at his arms this morning saying, now, why did I say that?
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Charlamagne, say the gang. Donkey of the day, man.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Yeah. It's The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Ed Sheeran, Donkey of the Day for Friday, October 6th goes to former NBA star Kenyon Martin. Drop on the clues bombs for Kenyon Martin. Great guy. He's been here to The Breakfast Club before, but Donkey of the Day does not discriminate. Now, I'm not sure exactly when this happened. I just heard about it this morning. I be disconnected from social media. I don't have social media on my phone except Instagram, so I miss a lot, and I'm not mad at missing it at all. Now, Kenyon Martin had some things to say about Jeremy Lin's hair. If you don't know who Jeremy Lin is, he's a guard for the Brooklyn Nets who happens to be Asian American. And Jeremy Lin has been sporting a new hairstyle, and that hairstyle is dreadlocks. So, of course, an Asian American with dreadlocks is going to cause someone to call him out for cultural appropriation, and one of those persons happened to be Kenyon Martin. Let's hear what Kenyon had to say, please.
Do I need to remind this damn boy that his last name Lin? Come on, man. Let's stop this, man. Like, there is no way possible, man, he would have made it on one of our teams, man, with that bullshit going on his head, man. Like, somebody really need to tell him, like, all right, bro, we get it. We get it. Like, you want to be black. Like, we get it. But the last name is Lin.
Now, that's Kenyon's opinion. He's entitled to that. Me, personally, I don't give a damn what Jeremy Lin does to his hair. Only thing I care about is that Jeremy Lin pays homage to the culture that dreadlocks derive from. That's it. With any form of appropriation, that's all I care about. I hate when hairstyles and trends that have been happening in our culture for years get accredited to other cultures simply because the people appropriating don't pay homage. But the reason Kenyon Martin is getting donkey today is because Jeremy Lin left a comment on Kenyon Martin's Instagram, and I'm going to read this comment verbatim, okay? Because it's a bar in this comment that should actually make Kenyon Martin shut the F up forever on this situation, okay? Jeremy Lin wrote, "Hey, man, it's all good. You definitely don't have to like my hair and are definitely entitled to your opinion. Actually, I am legit grateful for you sharing it, to be honest. At the end of the day, I appreciate that I have dreads and you have Chinese tattoos. I repeat, Jeremy Lin told Kenyon Martin, I appreciate that I have dreads and you have Chinese tattoos, okay? I think we got a winner, ladies and gentlemen.
Bars!
All right, let me finish Jeremy Lin's statement. He continues, I think it's a sign of respect, and I think as minorities, the more that we appreciate each other's cultures, the more we influence mainstream society. Thanks for everything you did for the Nets and Hoops. Had your poster up on my wall growing up, end quote. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Jeremy Lin, okay? That is what you call sophisticated shade. That is a prime example.
That was a good one.
That is a prime example of learning to destroy your enemies by opening holes in their reputations, then stand aside and let public opinion hang them. Kenyon, you didn't think this one through. You can't call out an Asian American like Jeremy Lin for rocking dreadlocks, saying he can't do that because he's not black. But then you, as a black man, have a sleeve full of Chinese words on your arms. You can't criticize someone for a so-called fault you also possess. Okay?
Yeah.
By your logic, Kenyon, if Jeremy Lin can't rock dreads, you can't rock Chinese letters. This is a prime example of the pot calling the kettle black, and in this case, it's a prime example of the paper plate at the barbecue calling the fine China white. Please give Kenyon Martin the biggest hee-haw, please. That was easy. That was light work for Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, he got him.
Come on. That was light work.
Yeah.
All right.
He
light
got him.
Work.
Damn it, man.
Come on, Kenyon. You didn't think that went through at all.
All right.
Not even a little bit.
Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where do you want to go today? Because it's Friday, so you know what that means.
Wait, we gotta
pull it up. Wait one second.
We don't have a Freaky Friday topic.
Let's talk amongst yourselves for a second.
But we don't have a topic.
Oh, yeah, we do. You're going to tell us the story.
What story?
Wait, as soon as we get this beat. Hold on.
The hell are you talking about, boy?
Hold on, man. We got to wait this beat. It's coming. You got it?
I come in here and tell you I had sex to Scissor last night, and now you want me to tell stories?
All right, here we go. It's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's Freaky, Freaky, Freaky Friday.
Now, last Friday, you went out last Friday, didn't you?
Last Friday. What was last Friday?
Last Friday. Where'd you go? You went to a concert. Friday, did you go to a concert
night.
Last Friday?
What was last Friday night? Last Friday. Oh, yeah. I went to Ed Sheeran at the Barclays.
Shout out to Ed Sheeran. Now, you went to go see Ed Sheeran perform.
That's my guy.
How was the concert?
Concert was great. Ed is an amazing performer. If you've never seen Ed perform, Ed comes out there with his guitar. He plays the beat himself, and then the beat loops back, and he does his own background vocals, and the background vocals loop back, so he's a one-man band. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Ed Sheeran. Great guy.
Shout out to Ed Sheeran.
That's my dude.
I don't care about the concert. I want to know what you did after the concert.
What are you talking about?
What you do after the concert? I seen the picture that you took with Ed Sheeran.
We was playing pool.
Okay.
That's my guy.
And what happened at that pool place that you guys were playing pool at?
What you mean what happened? We ate pizza.
We ate pizza?
Ed bought out the bar. He drank.
Ed bought out the bar.
Yeah. Me and my wife had a good time. What are you talking about?
Ed said it was his friend's birthday, so he wanted to do something special.
How do you know all of this stuff?
Wax was there with you. Yeah, Wax was there with you, so I want to see how honest you're going to be. Let's see how honest you're going to be. All right? Now, go ahead. Now, it was Ed Sheeran's friend's birthday, so he bought out the bar.
All right, listen. It was Ed Sheeran's mate's birthday. His one of his best friends from where he's from in the UK. His friend had never been to America.
Okay.
His friend's girlfriend was there. And Ed told me, Ed was like, look, things are going to get crazy tonight.
Because,
you know, my mate has never been to America. And, you know, Ed was playing a joke on his mate. So Ed said, look, I'm going to have, you know, some strippers come and dance on them.
All right, so you had some strippers there. Now, you with your wife or you by yourself?
Me and my wife.
Okay.
And Wax and Paige. And I'm like, all right, cool. It's all good. He goes, but here's the kicker.
All right, stop the music.
He said, the strippers are male. Because it was a joke. It was a gag. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure some men were gagging in there.
So
all right, go ahead.
He had three male strippers coming here. His friend had no idea. His friend was a good sport. You know, his friend was turning red, but he went along with it. I think it was two white strippers and one black stripper. And one black stripper saw me and was like, oh, my God, there's Charlamagne.
Oh, boy.
He didn't expect to see me in there.
All right. Okay.
And, you know, he was just like, yo, let's take. He's like, yo, I want to take a picture. I'm waiting until I got my clothes on. I'm trying to make a little extra money. I said, brother, do your thing.
Okay. So you left?
No, why would I leave?
Oh, you stayed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stayed, laughed, watched it, enjoyed it.
Thought
about doing it to one of my peoples. All right.
Okay.
I think that's a nice little gag to pull on one of your people.
So it didn't bother you one bit. You was comfortable in your skin and you wanted to watch male strippers, so you watched male strippers.
Why would male strippers make me uncomfortable? My wife was right there with me.
Okay.
Why would that make me uncomfortable?
All right.
By the way, I noticed that a lot of women don't care for male strippers, by the way.
No, I mean.
Yeah, a lot of women don't care for male strippers. And male strippers do make some men uncomfortable. But, I mean, if you're at a party, right, full of men and women, and somebody brings some male strippers in, like Ed Sheeran did, to dance on his friend as a joke, what's the problem? That shouldn't make you uncomfortable.
I'm not going to lie. When I heard the story, I said, yeah, I would be a little uncomfortable. Because
really?
I'm going to tell you why. A part of the stories that you're leaving out is that these male strippers were throwing their schlong on a man's face.
The male strippers were doing what they would do to anybody they was dancing for. So, yeah, they was getting crazy. One time they picked the guy, poor guy, up, and they was like 69ing in the air without actually 69ing. But they had to put a position down pat. But things happen.
Things don't happen. So is it true?
They were throwing their meat in the man's face.
They were throwing meat in a man's face.
They were doing the same thing they would be doing to a woman. It was a joke, okay? That's how white people play sometimes.
is that how they play?
Okay, even white people from the UK, that's how they play. I don't think it didn't make me feel uncomfortable.
Okay,
I thought it was funny.
Well, let's open up the phone lines. 800-585-1051.
Yes.
If there were male strippers around, dancing, throwing their schlongs in other men's faces, maybe your face?
No. Now you're swaying the jury. No. No men were slinging slongs in anybody's face. They were on this specific guy. It was a joke. It was Ed Sheeran's friend's born day. He was playing a joke on his friend. His friend was a great sport.
All right. Would you feel comfortable? 800-585-1051. And ladies, if your man feels comfortable around that, is that okay with you?
We had a ball. Okay.
I bet you did have some balls.
Balls everywhere, and we had a ball.
You did.
Damn it.
800-585.
Drop on the Clues Bombs for Ed Sheeran again. That's my guy.
105.1 is Freaky, Freaky, Freaky Friday. Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV Angela Yee. Charlamagne the God, we are the Breakfast Club. It's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's Freaky, Freaky, Freaky Friday.
And the Freaky, Freaky Friday question comes from Charlamagne.
This is actually a great conversation.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I didn't even think about it. You know, yeah, last Friday, I was hanging out with my guy, Ed Sheeran. I went to go see Ed Sheeran at the Barclay Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to a little dive bar, you know, a little dive bar in Brooklyn. It might have been like 40, 50 people there, maybe a little more.
Okay.
And, you know, we was drinking and we was eating pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Ed's friend's birthday.
Right.
Ed's friend had never been to America.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So Ed's friend was in America. He was there with his girlfriend.
Okay.
He said, I got some strippers coming that are going to surprise him and dance on him. But the kicker is they're male strippers.
Mm.
Okay. That's the joke. That was the gag. And I was like, okay, that should be funny. You know what I mean? So we sat in there, and the male strippers came in. They grinded all over the dude. They danced with the dude, tossed him up in the air. The dude was turning red, but he was a good sport. He was laughing with it. Everybody was laughing. It was actually funny.
Okay.
So I'm having this conversation with, you know, y'all, and y'all are like, that would have made y'all uncomfortable. I don't know why. Would it made you uncomfortable if the guys were dancing on you or just to sit there and watch?
No. I mean, to sit there and watch is funny. But let's say he says, you know, you're laughing, and then he wants to be like, oh, you think it's funny, and then he starts coming on to you.
Well, no, that's not what happened. It was three male strippers. I think two of them were white. Maybe one might have been Latino, but one was definitely black. And the black one
See, the black one wasn't expecting to see no black people there. That's what it was. That's what it was. The black person wasn't expecting this. The black male stripper wasn't expecting to see no other black people there.
Right.
So when he saw black people, and the one of the black people had to, was me, he was like, oh, man, that's Charlamagne. So then he came with me and was like, I'm trying to make a little man. And he was like,
I don't usually do this,
yeah,
bro.
He was like, well, can we take a picture after I have my clothes? And I'm like, yo, brother, it's all good. Go do your thing. Have fun. So right. I personally, it didn't make me uncomfortable. In fact, Ed Sheeran, that taught me a new trick that I plan to use over the holidays. The one of my cousins who ain't been acting right.
Okay.
All right? All right. I got a gag for him. I think that is a great gag.
All right.
I'm going to set mine up a little different, though. I'm going to have the female strippers dance on them, handcuff them, then leave the room and have the male strippers walk in.
You dirty. That's dirty, see? I don't play those games. Hello?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's your name, bro?
My name is Adrian.
Hey, Adrian. Now, would you be comfortable with that, man?
Hey, listen, if it was something I did not expect, definitely uncomfortable. The strippers just bust out the room, shaking their meat all over the place.
See, that is just a little weird.
But that's why Ed told me beforehand. Ed told me beforehand because he didn't know how I was going to react to it or how my people was going to react to it. So he just let me know. And I was like, bro, I don't
care. I know that's how white folks play. Like, I know that's how my white boys, they play the same way. So me and my wife, we would have just plotted our exit. We would have just exited it smoothly. Like, all right, baby, it's about to happen.
I got you. Thank you, bro.
I'm not that.
Hey, no problem.
I thought it was funny.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this Bill's from Detroit, man.
Hey, what's up, bro? Now,
what up, though?
You at a bar. A male stripper pops out and starts dancing on the dude in there. Do you leave or are you comfortable or uncomfortable?
If he's dancing right next to me, I got to go. I ain't going to lie. Just some junk swinging around like that, I don't know.
Y'all playing too much.
Charlamagne was trying to hide it. Like, you wasn't trying to pop out straight with it. It made me just sound kind of fishy, bro. Like, you taking your time. He was asking you about it. You took your time and answered.
No, I really had to remember. I just had to remember. I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't thinking about it.
800-585-1051. See, I might have slid out there, too, because the way I'm thinking is, if he going to dance on the white boy, he going to come at me next.
Why?
Because it's funny.
He not getting paid to dance on you.
Because it's funny.
He got paid to dance on Ed Sheeran's friend, and that's what they did.
Because if I was there with you, I'd tell the black strip, I'd be like, look, I give you an extra $100, go dance on Charlamagne. That's what I would have did.
No doubt. And I'd have gave him $500 and said, you put that meat in Envy's face.
See?
All right?
And that's what I
But
love.
That's fun. But tell me, all jokes aside, is that not fun? And that's what Ed Sheeran...
No, me in my face is not fun, but...
But that's what Ed was doing to his homeboy. That's fun. That's funny. Trust me. Holidays is right around the corner. I got plans for one of my cousins, and he has no idea I got the male strippers on deck. All right? I'm going to have the female strippers come in the room, dance with him, handcuff him, and then have the male strippers come in there and grind to him to Pretty Ricky.
I'm going to lock you up because that's kidnapping. You can kidnap me. You lock me up and kidnap me. 800-585-1051. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Now, if you just joined us, we're taking your calls. It's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's Freaky, Freaky, Freaky Friday.
And it comes from Charlamagne and his, what did our extravagant weekend.
I mean, it wasn't extravagant, man. This was last Friday. Me and my guy Ed Sheeran, after Ed Sheeran's concert, we was hanging out, you know, playing pool at a dive bar. It was Ed Sheeran's best friend from the UK's birthday. He's never been to America, and Ed wanted to play a gag on him. He wanted to play a joke on him.
You guys ran out of pool sticks, so he decided to invite some more.
Stop it. The joke was that he was going to have some male strippers come in and dance on his homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. And, you know, I thought it was funny. But I'm having conversations with my conglomerate here, Envy and my gang, and they like, that would have made me uncomfortable. I'm like, for what?
I'd have got out of
Dodge. Just to sit there and watch some male strippers dance on a dude, it was funny.
The curved penis would have pointed at me. He might have came at me right after. I would have passed.
And I realized that ladies don't really like male strippers at all.
Not too many.
So I don't know what male strippers, what their place is in the ecosystem.
Are the men, gay men.
But Ed Sheeran's homeboy ain't gay?
Oh, I don't know. Hello, who's this?
What's going on? It's Chris from Yonkers.
Chris, man, would you feel comfortable with a bunch of strippers dancing around you, bro?
Listen. I live to see y'all all the time think Charlamagne is hilarious, man. But you know what? Charlamagne be giving it that donkey of the day, but you ain't bring up the topic that you was getting donkey of the night, man. How you had men flip you upside down, and you singing Ed Sheeran, I'm in love with the shape of you, and you got a man's crotch here. What's going on?
See, this is how black people interpret things. I never said it was me. I specifically said it was Ed Sheeran's homeboy's birthday. His homeboy's from the UK, never been to America. Ed had the male strippers come in and dance on his
homeboy. Mm. Charlamagne was not involved in that. I did not get turned upside down. Nobody was looking at me singing, I'm in love with the shape of you. How did we turn? How? It's been 10 minutes. How did that story flip that fast?
I like his story better. Hello, who's this?
King Sean.
Hey, Game Sean. Now, we're talking about male strippers. Would that make you feel comfortable or uncomfortable if they were dancing in the vicinity of you or around where you were?
That would make me want to fight whoever had to do with it.
Why?
So now you want to fight Ed
Sheeran? No. You mean you would want to fight if it was happening to you?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah, no, because I was telling Wax, I was like, I'm going to do this to such and such on over the holidays. And he was like, that boy going to shoot, man. Don't do that.
He was like, that boy going to start shooting. My question to y'all is, how was the dude? Was he just sitting there giggling about it?
It was funny. He was red. It's a joke. That's how. I mean, listen, man. They play different than we play.
Nah, y'all might have pulled out some information out of him that wasn't really ready to release yet.
All right, thank you. Now, let's go to one more caller. Ashley, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Now, Ashley, if you and your man was there, right, and a stripper was dancing on another man.
Male stripper.
How would you feel?
I would feel completely uncomfortable.
Why?
And because, if you see two men grinding on each other, he has to question his sexuality completely.
But it was a joke.
No. It's okay for two women, but two men, not at all. That's completely gay.
Well, now I know why. I know why Ed Sheeran told me beforehand, because he probably thought I was going to feel like every single one of our callers that called in here this morning. I hate this term, but I can cut the toxic masculinity in this room with a knife right now.
Okay.
Jesus Christ,
man. I
wouldn't
care if they were dancing. I just know if they are there to do that, I might be next.
No,
they might
man.
Try to grab me next.
It was a specific joke. It was Ed Sheeran's friend's birthday. The guy's girl was there with him. He had the male strippers come out, dance on his best friend. I thought it was funny. Mm. I thought it was hilarious. Okay. And the holidays are right around the corner, and I can't wait to do the same thing to one of my cousins in Monk's Corner, South Carolina. Oh, I already got it all planned out. I'm going to have the female strippers dance with him, handcuff him, make him feel real comfortable, then have the male strippers come in and grind all over his ass. And I'm going to be playing B2K Bump Bump Bump. I'm going to play Pretty Ricky Grind with me.
Oh,
I'm going to play R. Kelly Bump and Grind. All right?
I mean, I would definitely call the police and say you kidnapped me. But you would have to put a mask on first. Now, you got to put a mask on and then bring him in, let him grind, and then take the mask off.
Okay, see, now you're thinking about it. Now you see the humor in this, all right?
He going to fight you, boy.
The moral of the story is drop one of Clues Bombs for Ed Sheeran. That's my guy. All right, I had a great time last Friday, me and my wife and my conglomerate. We had a great time.
All right, now, when we come back, we got rumors on the way. We'll tell you about Iggy Azalea. She owes $300,000. I'll tell you to who and how they're trying to get their money back. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Iggy Azalea is being sued for $300,000. Woo!
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Now, according to American Express, Iggy Azalea is being sued for $300,000. Now, they're saying that she spent $250,000 and they want $300,000, which includes legal fees and some interest. Could you imagine what she spent for $300,000?
Well, first of all, I don't know Iggy Azalea's financial situation, but if you put $300,000 on an Amex card, you're probably not doing too good financially. She probably thought a big check was coming in a couple weeks. A big check was coming in the next 30 days. So let me go ahead and just charge up this stuff, and I'll take care of it next month. But it don't look too good, man. When you ain't had a hit in a minute, and you really can't get nothing popping, and the label, Def Jam saying they're not spending no more money on you, it ain't looking too good for old Iggy.
Yeah, but, the only thing is, people use their points on the American Express to buy other things sometimes. So
I don't need $300,000 worth of points, bro. Not in a month.
Yeah.
I ain't putting $300,000 in a year on my Amex card.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But don't listen to me. I still shop at Target. All right, I buy T-shirts from Target. Salute to Goodfellas. They had a new T-shirt line in there that's not Mosimo.
Are they better than Mosimo?
I'm not saying better, but okay. I ain't mad at them.
Okay, all right. Now, Cam Newton. Now, he was in the news for saying this to a female reporter.
Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck-sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny.
Well, now Cam would like to apologize.
Of course.
It seems like he lost an endorsement, Dan and Yogurt, and now he's very, very sorry for making these comments, and this is what he said now.
My word choice was extremely degrading and disrespectful to women. And to be honest, that was not my intentions. What I did was extremely unacceptable. I'm a father to two beautiful daughters, and at their age, I try to instill in them that they can do and be anything that they want to be. During this whole process, I've already lost sponsors and countless fans. I realized that the joke is really on me. And to the young people who see this, I hope that you learn something from this as well. Don't be like me. Be better than me.
Oh, here's the thing, man. I feel like if Cam Newton wanted to cause outrage and if he wanted to lose endorsements, he should have just took a knee. He should have just took a knee on behalf of his people that are facing injustices in America, and he should have just stood with Kaepernick. That would have been more honorable than this.
Correct.
This is just a waste of calories right here. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah. I really don't know where he was going with it. Like, I don't understand.
And I'm mad no reporter followed up. A reporter should have followed up and said, what do you find funny about females discussing routes? Like, you can't just make a statement like that and leave it hanging in the air.
Even if he said, I find it funny that all you reporters that don't play football ask me about routes. But the way he said it, nothing was funny about it.
And it was also incredible to me because Cam Newton has been playing football his whole life. You've never had a sports journalist ask you a question that was a woman? You've never had a woman reporter talk to you your whole life playing football? Now, what would have surprised us all is if this woman would have said she actually ran routes.
Right.
All right, if she actually said she ran routes with the guys and she caught the football, then that's like, wow.
Because if she was young M.A., remember young M.A. played football as a little one.
Well, no, that's expected.
No. Anyway, and lastly, LL Cool J is the only rapper to get 2018 Rock and Roll nomination. So congratulations to him. He's nominated for 2018 the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think there's 19 other candidates. Rage Against the Machine, Kate Bush, Radiohead, Nina Simone, and LL Cool J.
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I never celebrate that. And the reason I don't celebrate that is because LL Cool J is not rock and roll. LL Cool J is hip hop. Hip hop is the biggest genre of music, you know, in the country right now.
It's
the most influential genre of music ever. And LL Cool J is one of the pioneers and the founders of that. So, you know, I'm not celebrating the fact that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame wants LL Cool J. Of course they want LL Cool J. What we need is a hip hop Hall of Fame. All right? Mm. That's what we need.
I thought they have it. Maybe they don't. But would it be hip-hop? You need like a...
And here's the thing.
Because it's hip-hop, there's R&B. Like, yeah, I guess hip-hop is all that.
Hip-hop culture. And then what they said, LL's nominated.
Yeah, nominated.
Nina Simone is nominated.
Correct.
Like, both of them are legends. They shouldn't be nominated for anything. They should be automatic inductions.
Right.
First ballot Hall of Famers in whatever musical genre category you want to put them in. But rock and roll, nah, man. That's like, nah, that ain't us. We hip-hop, baby.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, well, that is your rumor report. Angela Yee is out, but the mix is up next. 800-585-1051. Let me know what you want to hear in the mix. Shout to all my HBCUs. All right, let me know what college you went to, and I will shout your college out this morning. All right, now shout to Revolt. We'll see you guys on Monday. Everybody else, the People's Choice mix is up next at DJ MV. 800-585-1051 is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.